Oh, he's calling the door.
We gonna wait for Jim or?
Yeah, sorry,
okay, the Green Cove Springs Planning and Zoning Board is called into session at 5:01 p.m. on the 27th of March. May we have a roll call, please?
Board Member Austin?
Here.
Board Member Spurrier?
Here.
Vice Chair Kelly?
Here.
Chairman Lewis?
Here.
You have 4-0. Oh, you have a quorum.
You need to call me and...
Oh, excuse me. Janice Fleet, Development Services Director?
Here, and Ms. Judd and City Attorney are probably joining us.
Okay, we'd like to the approval of the minutes for January 30th and February the 11th meeting. Somebody have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Now we have a roll call, please.
Mm-hmm. Board Member Austin?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kelly?
Yes.
Chairman Lewis?
Yes.
Vote's 4-0.
My present man, yes.
Are you present? Yes.
My present man, yes.
You are yes present.
Yes, present.
Okay, on the public hearings, we have none. And on the board business, we have the presentation of community redevelopment areas, CRAs, and proposed findings of necessity for the FON report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'd like to do is, I'm going to go over this PowerPoint real quick. You probably read it, self-explanatory. I have, this was part of an all-day training that myself, Ms. Lewis, Councilmember Lewis, and Mr. Knoll went to. And then we had a special board workshop couple of weeks ago, beginning of March, March 4th to be exact, and where the person who took it, Carol Westmoreland, who was the Florida Redevelopment Association Executive Director, went over this with the council. And we thought it would be good just to give you all some basis. I'm going to go through it pretty quick, but stop me if I'm going too quick, and then explain to you what our finding necessity and what the process is going forward with that. So I just want to give you, this is what they call CRA, or Community Redevelopment Agency. CRA stands for Community Redevelopment Agency, or Community Redevelopment Area. And the whole idea is we're going to talk about why we should redevelop, what are CRAs, and what are some do's and don'ts for CRAs, and how to become an effective leader, and what are some of the best practices, and what are our rules of engagement. And like I said, she took all day doing it. She took an hour. So I'm not, we're just going to go. I went through and kind of skipped the slides that I didn't feel got more detail, but just to kind of go over it. So, so why do we redevelop? Well, it goes back to Chapter 163 of Florida Statute, which is to remove slum and blight. And there's very statutory requirements and definitions of slum and blight, which we'll go a little bit more when we get into the finding necessity. The whole is to promote, encourage economic development, to get rid of crime. This goes back to 1969 in the state of Florida. So it's been an act that a lot of, some of the old cities like Miami, Jacksonville, they've had CRAs for a long time. We actually had a CRA back in before I started being a planning consultant, so sometime in the late 90s. What happened to it or what, nobody knows the story, but somehow it just kind of went away. And since we weren't doing the annual reporting, it kind of died is the best way of saying it. But what can happen is you can help promote affordable housing, you can do streetscape capital improvements, promote historic building resources, promote businesses and retain them, enhance park, and most important, increase your tax base. And that's a cool, it's one of the toolbox, it's one of the tools in the toolbox for us to promote redevelopment, which is real important, obviously, in this community to get it moving. And like I said, it's been around a long time, and a lot of very successful CRAs from Jack's Beach, they have two CRAs, Jacksonville, City of Jacksonville downtown, a couple of CRAs. Small city, they have very small cities that are CRAs, and it's a large city. So I think Tampa has five CRAs. Each one has its own uniqueness to it, and that's why they created it, because they are unique to themselves. So Skip to the next, okay. So what is redevelopment? And the statutory reason is Chapter 163, and if you have nothing better to do, part, you can read the Florida statutes, Chapter 163, Part 3. And like I said, it's been around for a long time, and it basically sets out what you can do. But basically, you have to designate an area, which is we're starting the process by, you do a report, which is a finding necessity report, which we've completed. You have to officially adopt it, which is going to happen to the council on April 15th, hopefully. And then after that, you're doing a plan. We are contracting with this University of Florida Center for Building Better Communities. They both did the founding necessity because we got a grant from the Department of Economic Opportunity from the state to do it, and they're also going to be actually preparing our plan. We got about 10 or 12 students plus a doctoral service and professors working on it. And so once you have established the CRA, gone through the process, adopted your community redevelopment plan, then you can start development that to promote developments in your plan based on the increase in assessed value over time. And that's the key. The key is to increase the tax value of your community, or the, what we call the increment. And what I always say is if there's a piece of property that's today in Green Coast Springs assessed and the city gets $100 on taxes on that property. Let's just take one of the vacant car dealerships. And we'll just say right now the city gets $100 for taxes in that area. And all of a sudden now we have a four-story, a three-story building that goes on it with mixed use. And now all of a sudden that project is worth, generates $400 a year of taxes. The increment is the difference between 100 and 400. That $300 or 95% of it needs to go to direct to projects that are in your plan. But we also can get the county that to buy in, and we get their, it used to be the total amount of their county, but now the goal is at least equal to what ours is. So like we got a millage of 2.98, so the part of the county's, they should give us that equal amount too. They have to, because we're a charter county, the county commission has to agree to it, and we're hoping they will, but we've been working with them. So that's what we call the tax increment, and we'll go into more detail on how we can do it. A good example is the Hyatt, which was the Adams Mark in downtown Jacksonville. That was a parking lot for the city, owned by the city of Jacksonville, generating not a dollar of taxes. They knew that when they put this 16-story hotel on that process, it was going to generate a couple million dollars a year of taxes. So what they did is to make that project work, they basically, the city said, okay, we're not getting this money now. We're going to give you the taxes that we would get, and that can reduce your debt service and make the project viable. And you know, it's been very successful having that hotel downtown. Basically, they gave the Adams Mark, which became the Hyatt later, $23 million to help build that project, and it's all through the tax increment financing Okay. So what is a CRA? As I said, it's a community redevelopment area. It's a special district, and in your you can see it, and it has to be designated because it meets the definition of either slum or and or blight as per statute, Florida statutes. And then you have a board that's adopted to be your CRA, your community redevelopment agency. Used to be that these agencies used to be separate entities, but now the more common is the council is, of most communities, is your CRA. And that can, but the council has to, like, meet another day, they have to close their council meeting, open their council meetings, everything is separate for the CRA. So they can't just say, okay, now we're, you know, like sometimes you'll vote for the Recreation Advisory Committee, it's kind of one of your items on the agenda. They can't do that. They have to have a separate meeting, close, open the meeting, et cetera. So, or the council can create a, which my understanding, the last time we actually had a CRA board because that was what was the norm years ago, but then they moved it to the council, and so I don't know, but chances are it's probably, our recommendation from staff is probably let the council be the CRA. Okay, so once, what did we skip? Is that missing? Okay, so, yeah, okay, so then, and you can have, as I said, in Tampa they have multiple districts, so you can have more than one CRA district. Okay, I had turned the page, that was my fault. Okay, and as I said, it goes back 1980 when they started. And there's even, it can be created by a city or a county. There are some counties that have CRAs. More of them are the city. And it's not, it's something local governments can do. State's not involved with it at all. Okay. So the ideas I mentioned, you have to, the goal is to eradicate slum and blight. That's the key. And because we feel that that is hurting communities, and if we get redevelopment, it's going to move in a better way. You know, move to promote better housing, improve traffic, et cetera. Next one. Okay. So how do you create the CRA? As I started, it's all local, which is one thing really good. As I said, you don't have to deal with the state. And the county, charter counties, which Clay County is one, has to delegate the authority to the cities. So we have to get approval, and hopefully we will get approval from the county commission. We might need some help from everybody to say, yes, this is something that will help the county as well as the city. But we've been talking, and we feel like that hopefully we'll be supportive of what we're doing. And it's easier in non-charter county, but we don't have that option. You know, they can kind of do their own thing, but here we have to get their approval. As I said, the first part is a finding of necessity, which will go into our report. Then after the finding of necessity is adopted, which hopefully we will adopt on the 15th of April, then you create the board, which will probably be the council, and then the trust fund, which is that increment, is created. And that allows it. Basically, it'll seal the taxes as of this year. The increment is everything above it. So nobody's losing anything. It's just moving forward. And, I mean, that the funds that is generated in that increment has to be used in the district. You can't say, like right now, let's say if money is, you know, taxes are generated at Magnolia Point, they can be used anywhere in the city. Taxes generated in a CRA must be used in that CRA. Then the next thing, as I said, the redevelopment plan is adopted, which we should do by the end of July. And then you do not need to go back to the state. You just have to report to the state that you've created it. Okay? And that's pretty much the board. As we said, you have to have a chair and a vice chair of the board. But really, the chances are, like I said, is most of the communities are in the county. Most of the CRAs today are either the county commission or the city council. Okay, move on. The most important part of the CRA is the development of redevelopment plan, because that's the guiding force. Is if you can do what's ever in the plan, but you can't do anything that's not in the plan. So you have to think, that's what's going to be real important for us, to make sure that the plan is specific enough to meet state statutes, but it also gives us enough flexibility so we know what's moving ahead and what's going to happen. But if basically the rule, and Carol kept saying it all during our presentation, if it's not in the plan, you can't do it. And you have to make sure that plan is based on your finding necessity. So when I go over the finding necessity, you can see that we threw some extra things in, because if it was ever challenged in court, you're trying to create the record that nobody would come back to you and say, well, why are you spending money on marketing, let's say, for instance? Because you could say, no, we showed you in the finding of necessity that was one of the things that we really need in this community. So that's where you're at. So that's what we want to make sure everybody understands when you read that plan, and I'm sure it's probably going to be, you know, it'll be on the website, and I don't know how much, who involvement, that if there's anything as you see it moving ahead that you feel as a board member here on the Planning and Zoning Board needs to be added to the plan and program, please don't be shy. This is the time to speak up when we get the plan. So, okay? As I said, so we want to make sure it's in the plan. That's the key. And if it's not in the plan, you can't do it. You can hit it again. That's the key. Okay, so I think the key is what we call the TIF. What's also nice is in the TIF you can bond that TIF. That's a tax increment. That's that difference, as I said earlier, between like the 100 of today and the 400 of a new project. And what's nice is you can even bond it. If you say, for instance, you know that there is a project that needs improved wastewater infrastructure, and you the first year you're not going to get enough money. It might take you 10 years to get enough money. You can bond it, and your debt service will be paid by the new development. So that's what really makes it good, is that you can bond against them. And it's not any additional ad valorem, it's just what it would be paid anyways, but specific to that area. Okay? I think I kind of went over how you calculate it. Next couple of slides you can just breeze through. They're very kind of detailed on that. So what can you use your CRA for? You know, what can you use your TIF in? You can use it for administrative and overhead. And let's say, for instance, in a small city like here, if I was, like right now, my salary is based between the building fund, a certain charge, building fund development service. Well, the same thing can happen to this CRA. It's its own fund, just like the TOTA was its own fund. And you can charge certain administrative and overhead expenses. You can charge any planning studies, acquisition. A lot of communities use their money to acquire properties and then put it out for bid for redevelopment, because at Jack's Beach, for instance, you know, if you're familiar with the area, right when you get off JTB, that was an old subdivision in, where that whole shopping center, there's a Steinmetz or Carrabba's, is a lot. There was no way anybody could put together that project. But by the Jack's Beach created CRA, they have purchased all that property, and then they sold it back to the development entity. Not at a loss. They can't sell it for less than they buy it for. But the hassle of having to take over time of buying individual properties, the CRA's made it seamless. And here's a 10-acre tract to build a shopping center against somebody having to put together a 10-acre tract. So that's one of the benefits. Okay. Thing is, administrative expenses like executive director, experts, agents, employees, or required counsel. You can, some cities, even if the board is the council or the commission, they'll have a separate attorney for their CRA. I mean, I don't know how the city's going to do, but you can do that if you want. Any kind of insurance that you need, anything to make that agency, because it's like a separate agency to go. And what can't you pay? That's not as, we shouldn't get there because we're not, but as it says, it can't be any, you know, general operation, any things that aren't in your plan are the key. You can't pay for police unless you hired a special policeman just for the CRA. You can't, somebody did a fire truck, but that fire truck can only be used for the CRA. One community did it and had to be in the plan. So it's, the goal is we're trying to target the money and target the benefit and target the outcomes. Okay. As I keep saying, use is not in the plan. You can't pay board member service, like the high salary these planning and zoning board members get.
Ooh.
I
think it's paid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And any the key is any project outside the CRA. That's the key. But it can pay for capital improvements. As I said, it can pay for water improvements, sewer. It can pay for street improvements, streetscape improvements, etc. It can pay for land acquisition. It can pay for code enforcement. But that, if a code enforcement officer is paid by a CRA, let the record show that Mr. Arnold just joined the podium.
Sorry I'm late, but I was with the city manager from 4 o'clock until right now. She's not going to make it because she has another meeting at 5:30, and she had our meeting at 4 and this meeting at 5, and there's only one of her. And there's only one of me, so here I am, and I thought I am also not feeling well. So
yeah, and you've already heard this. So,
I've already heard all this.
So, but let's say, for instance, let's say Paul is a code enforcement officer. If he was going to do he would have to either a portion of his salary and be able to show through timesheets that he is only using, if the CRA is going to pay for him, that those hours of a day are in the CRA and not elsewhere in the city. But you can do cost sharing. You can say, okay, like we did with PHA, like we did with building, where you say so much of the day is this and so much of the day is general government. The key is that these are attorney general opinions related to what things that you can use, but you just have to be careful of, is marketing, funding nonprofits. You can't substitute prior year funding. It's like kind of, I guess, like the old, when they originally did the lottery, it was supposed to be supplement this education. Well, this is really supposed to supplement development in the area. Okay, I think I'm going to see it. All right, you can kind of skip what it is. And the key is, one of the things is we're going to get into an interlocal with the county, because we want, It's supposed to be, because we want them to participate, and we can provide them services because we are the county seat. Another, like Keystone or Orange Park, the benefit to the county is probably not as much as anything that happens in Green Coast Springs, just because they've made a major commitment in this area. You can skip the next couple of slides. So, okay, I didn't go, we haven't even gotten in CRA to talk about amending the plan and fiscal, et cetera.
You're going through the statute itself, aren't you?
Yeah.
Section by section.
Yeah, I'm just going through her PowerPoint.
I hadn't even read the statute until like a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And really even in the last few weeks in detail. We started something like this, I don't know, quarter of a century ago or something, and we never got very far with it.
And the key is that, another thing that's important is every year, you've got to figure out what you're going to do with that money. You can't just let it collect, and basically within 3 years of getting it, you've got to spend it. So you can encumber it. Let's say, for instance, you need 3 years of funding to pay for this project. That's fine, but you can't just, we'll just roll it over, and you can't put it back to the general fund. Basically, the city's general fund writes a check to the CRA. And once it's out of the general fund, the CRA, it can't go back. So you can't say, well, we'll just not spend for these projects in the CRA and we'll let it go pay for general government fraud. Nope. Can't do that. It's got to stay separate. So, the key is, even if there's something that would be allowed, if it's not in the plan, that was the one thing that Carol kept saying, you cannot do it. That's where you really get, you can hit it again. There's another. You can't do it. Go to the next slide. And the CRA has the same laws as you do in the council. It's, you know, it's sunshine law, have to have public records, no ethics gifts or any of that kind of stuff because, you know, it's a separate entity. And it's just like the council. You can skip, you know. One of the things we're trying to get the word out a lot, and that's why we're talking to you, is people feel, the negative, people think you're spending public sector dollars on private sector improvements. You'll see them, you know, let's say, for instance, you know, in other communities, like kind of like expanded our facade improvement grants, but the key is that you want to say that it's for a public benefit. The benefit of redeveloping and expanding your tax base is beneficial, so even if you help the private sector get it along, to move it along, it's worthwhile. And you can't really get the public sector involvement without the private sector. And the private sector will see the return of their investments, and lenders perceive it as a acceptable risk because they know there's a commitment to redevelopment.
I think the easy question to ask is how many people would like for their property to be more valuable? And if anybody says they don't, then we shouldn't be doing this, but I don't think there will be many people that say that.
Okay. This is a context board because you got to kind of engage. That's the key, which is the next slide you can go into. And the key is we want everybody to be a CRA leader. That's the key is we want everybody to know about what a community development agency, whether you're on it or not, you need to know about it. So when you get the naysayers out there, you can kind of say why it's really important to the city. Click a couple more. What helps, what has been over time since successful CRAs is to have a vision, to have strong leadership, and I think we have a committed council, to plan the work, then work the plan. You get that plan good and keep it going. A passion for partnerships with various other entities. We've reached out to the county, we'll probably reach out to the school board, Council on Aging, all the various, what other partnerships will benefit from the city's redevelopment. Key is making sure we have that community support and trust, and that's just really important that they don't question us what we're doing, that they feel that this is better for the city. And the stickiness, I think that's what probably didn't happen years ago is they didn't really stick to it. And we lost a bunch, you know, had we had that CRA the last 10, 15 years, our trust fund would be pretty good. Plus, we would have gotten more of the county's trust fund, the county's taxes that we're going to be able, that chances are we'll be able to get now. So it is important to maintain it, and once we make a commitment to move forward, is to continue to do it.
You've already gone past the point, Janice, where they know we have to have county approval, and there's going to have to be a formula worked out with them on who gets what dollars and It won't be 100% our way, and certainly it would be 100%.
I have some questions on that. Should you go ahead and finish, and
okay.
Then we'll...
The key is, you know, this isn't visioning. This is really getting down and dirty and doing the plan. Let's implement. This is an implementation plan. We'll keep moving on. But the key is we want to be realistic, and we have to understand the idea of public-private sectors is one of the best, they call it, the world is P3s, but really it is... It's a public-private sector commitment together. It's good to have workshops, to have annual meetings to figure out how we're doing every year. You have to have a budget. That CRA has a budget just like the city does. As I said, the city would write a check to the CRA, and the key is that you need to make sure everybody understands what we're doing by communication. It'll help us, by doing this, it'll help us better understand the market. It lets us, this is where you might get involved, look at the land use and zoning. It'll basically take our gateway corridor to maybe in the CBD kind of to the next level, is the best way of saying it. Make us look at it again. Key is that those partnerships, and it's also a way to make it successful is to track your project. I did a picture just the other day of I sent to the mayor, of the supervisor elections before and after. I mean, we know it looks good, but you forgot how ugly it looked. And, I mean, that's the best way to say it another way. And then I also, the McDonald's will get an award Tuesday night and to look at the befores and after. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. My name is Felicia. And so that's, you know, and we're going to work with best practices of other communities. And kind of that's going to be going down there. You can move it along. And like I said, it's got an annual cycle that looks like everybody else. Give me one more. And the key is those interlocal agreements we have with the county. And the last side is the Florida Redevelopment Association can help, and we've already reached out to them. So, and other community. We actually had the president of the FRA, who was from Jacksonville Beach, came to our meeting also. So now that I rambled on for 30 minutes, you got any questions? Then we'll go into the finding. I'll quickly go over the, you know, the finding necessity report.
Okay.
Go for it.
Tell me again how the money is generated.
Basically, it's the improvement in an area. So let's say, for instance, you've got the vacant car lot next to the vacant lot next to the admin building. Let's say right now it gives the city $100 a year in annual in taxes. Now we get a new bank on the site or an apartment or whatever. And instead of that $100, now all of a sudden that new project is going to generate $400 of taxable value. Because instead of the property appraiser appraising that property at, you know, a half a million, now it's worth $2 million, just for sake. So the difference between the $100 and the $400, the $300 is what we call the increment. That is the amount of money that can be used for the CRA. What generates it is new development. That's basically the key. That's what it's doing. But people are committed to it because they know there's a plan, and you're going to help them do things that need to be done in that area.
Okay, I know more than I ever want to know about the Clay County Development Authority because of this Field of Dreams. I'm sitting here trying to compare in a small, and I know the Clay County Development Authority isn't appointed by the governor. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they're not sure. I'm not sure, but that's a totally different. They are not. The Clay County Development Authority, I'm not sure if they're state, maybe they have some member state. I think County government does it. They are a group that has to ask for funding from an entity. They do not create it themselves.
Get grants.
They get grants. They go to the county and say, we need money for this project.
Right.
This is this entity, and that's why I think most communities now have gone to the CRA board being council members because they keep that control.
Well, but you mentioned something about the county commission, and that they would have to give us...
Yeah, what the county commission has to do, because we're a charter county,
okay,
they have to not fight us, and we're going to ask them to at least give us, which is what the statute says, give us 95% of the taxes that... The county tax is equal to what the city's taxes are, i.e., right now I think you get about, there's about, county tax is about 8 mils, and we would ask for 2.92, which is the same as the city's generating, and that's where you get a lot of money, too. Used to be you get all the county's money. That's why a lot of them are very successful.
Okay, so that money's there for the county, so all we have to do is ask for it?
Well, we're going to have to get them to agree to it,
okay.
Yes.
And
we're going to have to show the benefit to the... That's why I feel that there's a benefit to the county because they have invested so much in Green Cut Springs with their courthouse, their admin building. They're not going anywhere. What we do to help that area is helps their investment as well as their parking. It makes it easier for the people that come to the courthouse, the jurors, et cetera. We decide to, like, build a parking garage, for instance.
Okay. Could this happen? Could the CRA happen if the county says no? We can't. It would not, or they can't say no, or it would never happen.
No, they can say no, and then it won't.
It would not. It won't happen.
Absolutely.
Could that have been what happened back in the 90s?
No, I'm not sure. Back then we weren't a charter county, and we did that.
Okay.
It just we didn't report, and it just fell apart.
Okay. Well,
it was different statute requirements back then.
And there's different for this CRA as opposed to the Clay County Development
Authority. Clay County Development is not a CRA.
Okay.
Clay County Development Authority is not constituted as a Chapter 163 Part 3 agency with very specific rules.
Okay, so how we build up our CRA bank account, or however you want to say it, is from the county, we hope, giving us the 2.92 mil. Is that correct? And then also the difference in the taxes, right?
And they only give the difference too. Like they're not losing what they on that. That if they're getting $50 on that car lot, they're not going to lose that $50. They're only going to give us the increment, the increase. So that's what's so nice is nobody loses anything. It's only the gain, and the hope is that you're going to gain enough that not only that we'll get the. We'll get the benefit of what's actually in the CRA, but everybody else is going to get the benefit of what spills over beyond the CRA's boundaries, because we can't touch the CRA can't touch that any increased value. So let's say, for instance, one of the car dealerships gets turned around to a mid-rise, four-story mixed-use development. You don't think that's going to help other tax values within the city and the county?
And they won't
be contributing to CRA, but they're going to get a benefit from it.
So, and you know, you were talking on over here about the CRA would have to have their own insurance. You know, they could have the money to hire law enforcement if they needed it. They would have, I mean, that's kind of powerful, isn't it?
But it all
the
has
CRA.
To be. But it
the,
has
the
to be.
The committee, of course, I know probably with us it's going to be the council.
Right.
Which is good.
There's protection right there.
And they're
right.
going to have the sunshine law. They have to follow all, they have to be have audits just like the council, independent audits.
Mm-hmm.
All the public meeting laws, minutes, et cetera, they are just like you and they're just like the council.
Yeah. The good thing is really, they have to literally close their meeting as a city council
right.
if they happen to have one, or if they're going to meet before, they have to obviously adjourn and start over the city council versus CRA. But they're your elected officials. So you know they're going to be responsive to the citizens, and I think that's what I'm sure you want as well as I think everybody in town wants, somebody responsive to make decisions, and they will be the ones. And I think that certainly is the trend, if not the history of the CRA, is it your governing body in the vast majority of the cases throughout the state of Florida, you know, is the CRA.
What do you mean the governing body?
The council or the commission?
Oh, the city council's governing body? Or just a part of the governing
no,
body.
The city council
is the governing body.
Right. Would be.
I'm just saying they are also the CRA governing body, if you will. Okay.
Like in Tampa, they have five CRAs, and I think they have five council people, and each council person is chairman of a different CRA. It maybe is the one they're interested in, it maybe is the one from their area. I'm not sure, but that it's like their little baby, you know, I mean, in respect, that they're the ones who try to champion the causes of that area.
They would appoint anyway.
Right, right. You know, they become the point person for that district. Some of them caring more about housing, some of them more commercial redevelopment. It just kind of depends what you want out of the CRA.
So to begin with, we have to start getting money in for a CRA.
The city will probably, I would think, would put some seed money up, wouldn't we?
We don't have to. Usually takes, depending on unless you get that great project, it can take 5 to 10 years to make it justify. I mean, they're going to have to. They will help with staff time and things like that. But the money that is generated from the CRA is for improved development over what this, if we did adopt one this year, not 2014 taxes is our ceiling. That's our base year. And then as taxes increase over time, that's how you create your increment. You don't give them what you got now. The city gets to maintain everything in the general fund that the taxes generate today. It's just as development happens, you're getting that increment to go straight to help projects in the CRA.
So you said something about you can only keep money in there for 3 years? Is that what you said?
You have to designate it.
Spend it or encumber it.
Yeah. You can say, we've encumbered it to use it for a stormwater project. It's going to take us 3 years of dollars to get to it, or we're going to bond it. You just can't say, we just want to leave in the coffers or give it back to the council or, you know.
You can't roll that over, right?
You have to determine, after 3 years, you have to determine, encumber it, have a project or something. And they understand that some tap projects, it might take 10 years to get enough money to do it. That's fine. You just have to every year say, we're designating this money is part of this project.
We're not going to let that happen. Don't worry. That will never happen. Never happen.
Well, I guess it depends on the how large the project is that's come up.
Yeah, but you can take, like she said, 10 years to accumulate the money for that designated project. And you're encumbering, you're in essence pulling the money out of your...
And it's in that for that project, and you can't take it out.
From an accounting standpoint, then you don't have to, you don't lose that.
But you can't say, oh, after 5 years, you know, we decided we didn't want to do that. Nope, we can't do that. You know, we're going to use it for something else. Once you encumber it for this project, that's where it's going to go.
It really makes you do things that, like the vision plan and all the things and whatever, it's going to make you do things. Mm-hmm. There isn't any, I'm not going to do it. You have to do it. You have to move forward. You have to spend the money. You have to put it in this area and in the area that you've designated or that the city council designated, and you've got to do it for the projects that you say you're going to do it for. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes you do things, and that's probably a good thing, I would guess, that that's what we want to do.
Well, absolutely. Okay. I'm trying to think if I had any more questions. Anybody else has any questions, go ahead while I look at my notes.
It's new to all of us. I mean, you know, maybe not to Janice. She's dealt with it probably a lot.
Well, I'm glad to know that it's entirely different from the Clay County Development Authority because, they supposedly have millions and millions of dollars in theirs, and I'm thinking, how did they get that? So how could we get millions and millions of dollars in our CRA? Anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
I think you've answered that question.
I mean, the project, Jacksonville Downtown CRA, Miami CRA, Tampa CRA, they generate a lot more.
Well, yeah,
because they have if they get a Hyatt hotel or they get a 50-story office building, the tax values of that is a lot more than probably anything we get in Green Cove Springs.
Oh, yeah.
But our needs aren't as great either.
Yeah.
So it's a catch-22.
The other thing is your ad valorem taxes are low right now. So you're going to, if the economy, we all hope, improves, you're going to see just the natural appreciation of your values. There's going to be that difference of the ad valorem now and what they'll be in the future, whether there's a development on that property or not. The ad valorem's going to, the value's going up, the ad valorem's going to go up. So we're going to start funding it really right away, I would think. I don't think the values are going to go down anymore, hopefully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're starting to come back anyway. Any other questions?
So it'll accumulate basically as the tax accumulates, basically like you're saying, from year to year, and then it's this board that determines what is eligible within the CRA and everything like that for use of funds and everything.
Okay. And that board is the city council.
Mm-hmm. We're assuming that's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a good start.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
You got to start, and that's...
That's the key. The first thing that we started to do as part of our contract with... And it really, this year, because we got a grant to do this CRA plan, and we got the University of Florida to do it, we're really getting it all...
Yeah.
It's not costing the city anything. And we probably, most communities, they can spend a lot. So what the report I gave you is a finding necessity report, which was submitted to the council. We will officially adopt it, as I've said, by resolution on April 15th. We have sent yesterday by registered mail, as required by statute. Thank you, Kim. we sent a copy to the taxing authorities, being the county commission, the school board, and the water management district, to let them know that we're planning on doing this. Now, the county commission, you know, we're going to be kind of getting some of their money potentially, but the other ones, we're not taking any of theirs. But, you know, what you really want to sell is we're not taking anything that you're not got now anyways. You don't, those parts, you know, you're sealing it. Right now, it's not generated. We can generate more dollars and help generate more dollars. The county's going to benefit over time.
Mm-hmm.
CRA plans are only for 20 years also, and after 20 years, as the value increased, now all of that going back to the county. So it's good, which it is. But anyways, the first thing is, as you have to do is you're finding necessity, which is determination is a slum or blighted. When the university looked at it, they did not feel that we met the definition of slum, but they did feel that we met enough of the definitions of blight, and that's the designation we're going after. I personally like blight better than slum because I think slum
sounds better.
Yeah. And just going over the FON real quickly, they went over the history of how we got where we are, the ups and downs of Green Coast Springs, which is kind of almost depressing when you read it.
Well, the history is awesome. Who did this paper?
I think the university did, but a lot of it came off our website.
Okay. So they used the website and they injected some...
Yeah, we gave them information and...
Yeah.
And then they looked at our existing district. They looked at our central business district, our gateway quarter district, and the two historic districts we had in town. And then from that, we kind of designated a proposed CRA area. This went to the council back in November at a council meeting because we wanted the council to agree with the area. And we felt that it was important that the 17 corridor and the CBD was important, and we felt to look at the MLK corridor to include the Augusta Savage would be beneficial to the city. So that basically, that area on pink and 9, and it shows the other districts, is what we recommended in the council. Well, there was some public comment. They added the historic triangle, which is fine. After they determined the area, the city, they looked at the existing land uses. And there was I was interviewed by Channel 47. There is a small part of the population, but a lot of part of the crime, which I assume. They went and looked at the various land use and socioeconomic characteristics of the area. And then getting into what is the designation of slum and blight, and they looked at the conditions here related to the statutory requirement, and they felt that we did meet enough of the definition of blight to make it a viable designation. Because if it's not, and I don't think it happens as much today as it did probably 10 years ago, you can be challenged in court and saying, we think you're not a slum and blighted area. Because there were some very high-end areas that have been designated slum and blight because of other issues. So that's something... Anyways, they looked at some of the areas, the problems in the areas, as you can see in the pictures, to come up with what were some of our reasons, what we should be designated as. And from that, they came up that we have a predominance of defective street layouts. Our streets need help is another way of saying it. We have assessed values. You can see even though the assessed values of the city are increasing, not to the effect that the county, that the rest of the city is coming up. There is deterioration of site and other improvements, both the buildings and the sites, parking lots, as well as the infrastructure. There's an adequate density pattern. We have a lot of vacant properties, one story or less. There's a vacancy rate of commercial rate that is higher than the rest of the city. And that's what you have to show, that this is different than the rest of the city. Crime is higher, which that was one thing when I got interviewed by 47. They really jumped on crime. But and we looked at costs for services. And then on top of it, we threw in what we call the city designated deficiencies that we feel that are important as you move forward, because these become the basis for what you're coming up with your plan. So based on that, we feel that it does designate, it should be designated as slum and blighted, the area we designated, but we'll have to see what happens.
Now, what do you mean, see what happens?
And this is the last page.
Did somebody challenge us on that category?
No, I mean, there are court challenges, but I don't think that that's going to happen. And then you've got the map that shows you what the proposed CRA area is. So, show it.
This home on Martin Luther King, deterioration home, deterioration home. Where is it? Is that right there at Cypress and...
I don't know, I can find out, but I didn't take the pictures. One of the students
because
did.
Because I'm a lifelong resident of Greencove, and that's not ringing a bell for me. Okay, I'm fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was funny because initially when she put the study together, Laura didn't identify where they were, but we said, put it in, you know, because you're always afraid that somebody's going to be upset that you're designating their project as a problem.
Because it looks different. It looks like it's going around a curve there, and it's setting a different angle. Or maybe it's the angle that the picture
the way taken. They took it, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the record, do we need to state that Vice Mayor Hampshire is in the audience?
I don't think so.
I'm sure.
We don't need to state that Ms. Hampshire for the record.
No. We already did.
The Ms. Hampshire is here.
No, there's no legal requirement.
No, she's just here as an audience. And really, you're trying to set it up for no court challenges. And there have been some court challenges on CRAs, but I mean, I think our biggest challenge is with the county, but we've been working in them, and they see is what we do could help them in their investment.
So what can we do when it goes before the commission, county commission?
Just make sure you don't have any naysayers, or just promote that this will be good for the community, and something we need to move forward.
Just be there and speak to how positive this would be.
The likelihood is that the percentages will be sort of known ahead of time. That's the likelihood, but we'll see. We hope that in our city manager and the county manager working together, that they'll have some general understanding of what the recommendation will be, certainly to the county commission, and that hopefully they'll follow whatever the recommendation is, but there's no requirement that they do.
And we had Carol Westmoreland come, which is the Florida Redevelopment Association chair, to hear. It's one thing if I say it, it's one thing if Danielle says it's a good thing. It's another thing when somebody from the state, from the League of Cities comes. And she will come to the county commission to do the same thing to show how it's beneficial if they want her to.
Yeah, she's excellent.
Part of this, too, is for us to understand that so if we get questions, we know how to express
exactly
what the CRA is.
It's a tool in the toolbox.
On the positive side.
Exactly.
They might come up, most likely come up with negative signs, mm-hmm. and we've got to be able to know how to counteract with the positive side to help the whole community.
It's not increasing your taxes. It's helping your taxes.
It's not increasing taxes. It's increasing the value of your land and increasing the value and the beauty of the city.
Yep, that's
and
exactly.
The more you keep increasing the value of the or the beauty of the city, the more people we get. So it's a
and the more economic development, the more taxes are generated in other parts of the city.
Right.
Because it brings all the tax values up.
What time are we looking at? Time.
Right. We've got a grant that's kind of kicking us, keep us moving. I think we're looking to have the plan done by July and adoption in that time.
Well, Well, this is something I'll definitely hold on to.
Yes.
This is very well done.
Great. Glad you.
Yeah. That's a history, and if you're asked a question, a lot of these tables you can just turn to and
exactly
be ready to answer.
Do you have any more board discussion or comments?
No, it seems like activity has picked up, and questions, which usually, you know, things that are happening, but I haven't had any site plans. There's a lot of people who say they're going to come through. I talk a lot about the Gateway Corridor grant, talk to any of the businesses that are in the CBD and Gateway Corridor, because I haven't gotten any response lately, and everything's going good, and I'm excited that this plan's going to be, you know, just moving forward.
Mm-hmm. It's just staying on top of it, isn't it, making sure.
Yeah.
Every step's coming.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, then we have any more comments to be made, then we will adjourn the meeting at 5:50 p.m. And the next meeting will be April 24th, 2014 at 5 o'clock.
Very good.